Welcome to Smart Parents, Successful Students podcast. I'm your host, Helen Panos. I run a tutoring company for K through 12 students who need help with reading, math, writing, study skills, ACT, SAT, prep, and more. My tutors work both virtually and in person. We specialize in really getting to know your kids and helping them thrive. I was a teacher and leader in a Georgia school system for 25 years. I saw what worked and what didn't. And there are definitely some gaps that teachers can't touch, which is why our tutors are so important. Teachers can only do so much. I'm here to bridge that gap between parents and teachers, to help your kids become successful in school and beyond. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Smart Parents, Successful Students podcast. I'm your host, Helen Panos, and I am back here today with you all, and I am here with a special guest. His name is Jeff Nelligan. Welcome to the show, Jeff.
Hey, thanks, Helen. Privileged to be here, for sure.
Great. I'm glad you could join us. I think one of our guests in this season actually introduced me to you. So I'm thrilled that she was able to do that, because I was saying I need some dads on here. And you definitely qualify, because you have three boys.
Correct. Yes.
And we're going to talk a little bit about them, and we won't give it away quite yet. So let me just introduce you. Jeff is the father of three boys and a well-known commentator in the world of American parenting. His most recent book is the second edition of Four Lessons from My Three Sons, How You Can Raise Resilient Kids. Ah, this is going to be powerful. In which he outlined his parenting techniques and the path of his sons through childhood and adolescence to the U.S. Naval Academy, Williams College, and West Point. The first edition was the subject of feature stories on National Public Radio and in dozens of parenting publications, including Parents Magazine, Fatherly, Young Teen Magazine, The Good Men Project, Fatherhood, and Let Grow. Wow, that's awesome.
Thanks.
Congratulations.
Thanks very much.
Yeah, that's terrific. So tell us a little bit about your journey and how, you know, whatever you want to share, because I know you have a very big journey. and then tell us how you got to where you are today.
Certainly. As you mentioned, I'm the father of three sons, and all three today are military officers, responsible for hundreds of men and millions of dollars worth of equipment. And I guess the journey starts with when they were very, very young boys. I put together a strategy for how I wanted them to be raised and developed through childhood and preteen and adolescence and beyond. I didn't want the culture raising my kids. I wanted myself and their mom and the values that seemed to be eternal. I wanted them to have and maintain those values throughout their lives. And so the strategy began with just four kind of themes. I wanted excellent personal conduct. I wanted them to develop and sustain confidence. Mm-hmm. I wanted them, most of all, as the book title notes, to have resilience in adversity, because every kid and every adult hits a wall. No one gets a free ride. And indeed, you're talking about some of the kids you deal with, you know, and their struggles. They're always there. And the fourth component was to have ambition, to really wake up every day and see that, hey, here's a day ahead in which I'm going to advance the things that I'm interested in and that will bring me satisfaction and joy.
Those are four pretty powerful things to talk about, which, of course, we all know schools are not going to teach that. Not really. And they can't, you know, they're there to basically teachers. I'm going to defend teachers. They're there to do their job. And there's only so much time in the day, which I think, if anything COVID did was kind of wake everybody up to, oh yeah, gosh, my kid does need this and this and this and this. And wow, now I'm starting to feel sorry for teachers.
Yes.
And so parenting is extremely important. I find it interesting that you had a strategy. That's kind of cool.
Yes. And, you know, parenthetically to what you said about teachers, you're exactly right. Teachers are the most valuable members of society. Where else do kids spend between 7 and 9 hours a day, but in the environs of a school surrounded by teachers? Mm-hmm. Teachers spend more time with our kids than we do, because right. A lot of the time we're spent with our kids, they're asleep, and so are we. So mm-hmm. the role of teachers is magnificent. It's impressive, and it's probably the toughest job in America today.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. that's kind of, you know, that's my take on teachers.
And why it becomes even more important that parents kind of have a plan in a way, because right. your time is limited. And so you really have to maximize what you can get through to them, right?
Correct. And I'll tell you, for the strategy, what I did, the most essential part of the strategy was to get them out in the real world. It's my belief that our job as parents is not just to focus only on building a relationship with our kids. We're parents. We should already have that. Our job as parents is to teach our kids to build a relationship with the real world. And that is the individuals out there, the settings, the situations, the places, and the challenges, because mm-hmm. that's where they're going to spend the bulk of their life.
Mm-hmm.
So with this strategy, the first element of the strategy was I wanted them in the real world, and I wanted them to see it, and I wanted to give them challenges in that world. Mm-hmm. And crucially, Helen, I wanted to judge that world. If you see something good, you point it out to your kids. There's a parent holding a door open for a senior citizen. There's a parent engaging a shy parent in conversation. And the bad. There's a kid who's a jerk. That mm-hmm. kid is a jerk. We can see it happening. And you never are going to be like that. And also mm-hmm. the inspirational. What are the good things we see around us? The gratitude, which is one of the themes of one of your earlier shows. The gratitude yes. of seeing people react in positive, good ways. So when you're in the real world, I gave them the challenges immediately. One of the first challenges I gave him, I had three kids, all three sons in a mall, indoor mall, massive. And I took out my wallet and I gave each kid a $5 bill. And I said, each of you go get change for this bill. It's not a race. I'll be keeping an eye on you, but you have to go whatever stores you want and get the change. And so I just set them loose in this massively, you know, crowded and kind of loud and cacophonous mm-hmm. mall. And some first, you know, it didn't work out for some. The first kid, you know, got turned down, but ultimately came back. One kid came back with 20 quarters in his pocket. The idea was, this was a challenge in the real world. This is what it's going to be like for the rest of your lives, being outside. Mm-hmm. And so the challenges from that then on just kept increasing in size. We would go to a 7-Eleven in a sketchy area, and I give a kid $20 and I say, hey, go get these 5 items and your brothers and I will be waiting in the car. And the kid is 6 years old and he's going into this thing and he's getting the items and paying for it and then coming back. And then it is, here's my ATM card, go get me $300 in cash, here's the code. And then it's, we're at an airport, here's all the paperwork. You, at 8 years old, are in charge of getting all the boarding passes. So these challenges in the real world mm-hmm. never ended. And that's one of the reasons they kind of started to gain that confidence. And you know, as a former teacher, and now what you do in your business, the more you do something, the more you study, for example, mm-hmm. it becomes a reflex. It becomes a muscle memory to not panic and to gain that confidence in, as I said, that real world.
Mm-hmm. And actually, you're right. Confidence is important because We talk about advocacy in Dynamis Learning too, and we try to teach them that while we're tutoring. So we're trying to throw in some skills, and that's a big one. Like the kids, especially the seniors, and we have one actually, mom was just texting me yesterday, giving me a testimonial. And she says, yeah, Erica really, one of my tutors, really instills some confidence in her. And she did that with another senior last year who's now at the University of Kentucky. And he thanked her for that because that's an important trait you need and skill.
it's essential. And that confidence flows over into every aspect of your life, whether it's taking a physics test, whether it's being on a field playing lacrosse and feeling confident that, hey, I can guard this guy or I can score, or being in a theater production saying, I can stand up in front of 500 people and remember 5 minutes worth of lines, or being in an orchestra or a marching band and knowing I know all the moves and I know how to play this instrument, that confidence. And then it bleeds over, as I said, into every aspect of your life.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Yep. And I think we've hit upon, unless you want to add anything, but the question was, what do you mean by giving your kids examples from the real world? And I think you did that already, unless you want to add anything else.
I would say that once a parent starts doing this, what it does is it builds, you know, to use that word again, it builds that confidence, that resilience when things get hot. I'll give a perfect example. I had my kids out in the real world and I gave them advice from time to time to say, this is what you should do or this is what you shouldn't do. My youngest kid is 5 years old at a monster shopping mall with a theater and a food court. And the parents leading this kid's party around are so irresponsible that they go to the theater and leave three kids in the food court. And suddenly the three kids in the food court, of one of which is my son, 5 years old, and his two pals, 5 and 5, realize they're all alone in the midst of this, you know, massive surge of people. But my kid remembers what I told him at a college football game once. I said, you guys are so short, you're never going to be able to find anybody. Just look for that man or that woman with the stripe running down their leg on their trousers, and that'll be a security guard or a soldier. Run to them, grab them, and say, I need help. So my kid remembers this, calmly tells the kids to look for that stripe, and they find one in a few minutes, a mall security guard, and they get back to the parents, ultimately, in the theater.
Wow. But
you see, that's the kind of reflex thinking of, oh, I'm not going to panic. I'm not going to start sobbing like my two pals here. I'm going to figure out a way, you know, a way out of this. And I remember what the old man said. So that's kind of an example of that first question.
That's cool. Yeah, I've never even thought of that, actually. That's a great idea.
A special message from Dynamis Learning Academy. Would your child like to improve their SAT or ACT test score so they can get into the college of their dreams? But they need special attention, something they can't get at large classes like Kaplan or Princeton Review. Dynamis Learning Academy offers individual and small group SAT and ACT prep to help your child improve his scores quickly and easily. Go to dynamislearningacademy.com to learn more or reach out at 770-282-9931.
So how did humor, love humor, play into your parenting strategy?
Oh, yeah, listen, humor is essential. It goes back to having that kind of positive, upbeat, you know, happy-go-lucky life that we talk about, but we try to seize and sometimes we're unsuccessful. Kids will respond to humor. Kids will not respond to platitudes. You just can't say, well, you know, I really want you to be upright, well-behaved, disciplined, ambitious kids. You've got to bring it in and make it funny. So when we were out and about, every time we saw one of these instances, and as I said, is a real world experience that needed explaining, I would give a quip, you know, and the quips actually form the basis for the book. But again, the quips became muscle memory, you know, the funny ones about, well, you know, this is the end of the world. And I'm telling him about how I've lost a job, and I say, yeah, it's the end of the world. And I explain to him, it's not the end of the world. Nothing is. Your dad's going to rally and get back on his feet. And so, it's really, the end of the world. Ha ha. They took that and used it because every kid, as I said, encounters these setbacks in life. To when they ran up against a problem, to say that kind of offhandedly, which gave them a bit of strength, a bit of, positivity when they felt humiliated or ashamed, and allowed them just to kind of lower the temperature, to just deflate the drama balloon. And sometimes they were funny too. We saw, we would see kids all around, obviously, 25 years of raising kids in every environment under the sun known to a parent. And every parent listening to this has those same moments. We saw a kid leaving a football game. His dad's carrying his bag. His mom's got his helmet, and he's 10 feet ahead texting on his phone. And I was around couple kids and some parents, and I said, don't point it at him. And I said, don't ever be like that jackass. And of course, everyone broke into laughter. And I said, I mean it. Yeah, it's funny, but you don't want to be that guy. Your parents are humping your gear and you're just lost in your cell phone. So humor was a massive part of it. And people, the kids, could look at any situation with that kind of positive outlook on it. Once they were invited by they were at an all boys school when they were in middle school, and they were invited to take part in a play at the girls' school, a high school, and it was called The Pirates of Penzance. And they said, well, they told me about it, and they said, but we're not going to do it. And I said, oh, come on, it'll look good on your record. No, we're not going to do it. No. Well, your teachers at Landon, the school they were at, are really going to, look favorably upon you doing this. And I said, no. They said, no. Finally, I said, look, I'm going to bribe you. I'll give you 10 bucks each if you just go to the rehearsals. And if you don't like it, I'll be waiting outside. So we showed up at 10 a.m. on a Saturday morning. They each had 10 bucks in their pockets and they walked in and I drove away. And they came back to the car at 12:30, all dressed up in pirate garb with bandanas and breech cloths and plastic swords. And I said, oh, I guess I just didn't have to wait that long. And they said, we knew you'd left. We knew that this was a test. And so the whole idea is I'll be waiting outside became just this crazy joke, dad's going to be there. No, he's not. This is. You're going to sink or swim. So humor was key. And some of the same sayings that we use then and the same kind of situations we made fun of are even today.
I
And
bet. And wait till I have kids.
one of my kids, the middle kid, was in a very dicey situation on a guided missile destroyer in the Persian Gulf at 5 o'clock in the morning with Iranian boats coming at him. And he's told me later, he said, the first thing I thought was, it's the end of the world.
Wow.
So, these sayings have a shelf life.
They sure do. And now, how old are your boys right now? Or
28,
young men, I
20,
should say.
yeah, young men, 28, 27, and 24.
Okay. Yep. And one more question I'd like to ask you is, can you give us an example of a situation that drove home the importance of the attitudes and behaviors you tried to instill in your kids? I know you've given a couple examples, but
Yeah. Just the most previous one, just, here's a guy with a ship full of 250 people and boats coming at him straight, and who knows who's going to fire or what. And he him still being able to rely upon the old saw that dad used when he was had lost his job. I gave an example of the kid in the mall. And that's not isolated. There were plenty of times when they were in a scene in which the muscle memory, the reflex, forced them to think, okay, what have I heard about this that I should do now? I guess the best example would be is that we once, my son and I, early for a lacrosse tournament, because that was one of the basic parts of personal conduct, was always be 5 minutes early. I had a drill sergeant in the Army who used to say, if you're 5 minutes early, you're late.
I did read that in your book, and I did not get on 5 minutes early.
Now
it's going to stay with me.
Hey, it's a privilege to be here. But we drove through this school, and it was a high-end prep school in the Mid-Atlantic, and on the banners going into the school were these big proclamations about diversity and justice and inclusion and social welfare. And it's 8 o'clock in the morning and we're looking at these banners. We're silent. And suddenly I say, and don't forget SATs, GPA, all conference. And the kid just starts laughing. He's a 10-year-old kid and he immediately understands what I've said. I.e., it's nice to feel good about voguish ideals. What really counts is performance. It's always performance, because when you go out in that field in an hour, you're not going to be judging these kids on how woke they are or how much they feel for the environment. You're trying to win a game. And if there are parents out there who think that that's a little bit unfiltered, tell me when your kid brings home a D or an F on a test that everything's okay. No, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
In the real world, performance is everything. That's how your parents judge you, your teachers, most importantly, your coaches, your peers, adults around you.
Even the world.
And the world.
Everyone knows the grading system, right? Doesn't know that.
Can you perform? Don't tell me how you feel about things or how much virtue signaling you can do. Just get the job done. And so that was, you know, the fact that a 10-year-old laughs at that just shows kind of the, you know, the inherent truth behind the idea of performance.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yeah. And as long as kids are working to improve to get to that A, I'm good with that.
Right.
And the see, ones Helen, that aren't doing anything.
I will tell you, Helen, this is what you've done for years, both in a classroom and now as an advisor. You know, it is about, don't tell me you went to the environmental club and you've been, you know, when you've got C's.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. You know, don't tell me about the social justice warrior you are. Show me that you actually know physics or English literature or history or math.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Boy, I could have a whole conversation about that. That would be another podcast. But I know I need to wrap up this interview, and I've really had the pleasure of speaking with you. So tell us where, I know it's the book that you were talking about real quick. So tell them all where they can get it. And, you know, just a quick, you know, few minutes or a couple minutes of what it's about. And if it's on Amazon, you know.
Sure. Certainly. To begin with, yes, it is on Amazon. Second edition, 4 lessons from my 3 sons. My website, www.nelliganbooks.com. Not only contains links to the book and another book that I wrote a year ago called Your Kids Rebound from Pandemic Lockdowns, A Parent's Guide to Restoring Their Family, which goes into many of the things that you talked about at the top of the show, the pandemic toll on kids for no appreciable reason or scientific data backing it. And Facebook is Jeff Nelligan Books. And then Instagram is Nelligan_books. And Twitter is Resilient Sons.
Okay. Great. And we will have all of those links there for people. And they can just click on it.
Thank you.
Yep. And I appreciate you coming on and, you know, sharing all this great knowledge that you have of raising 3 boys, young men now. In the military and in excellent schools. Everybody, of course, has a different path, but as long as I believe, kids work to their potential to contribute to society, then that is the best thing that anybody can do for their children.
And I would say to all the parents listening that, again, we go back to, and a lot of this, some of this of what I've said, and maybe a lot of it you might not agree with, but I will say this. What I hope you can agree with is that your kid, however old they are, if he or she is 7 or 4 or 13 or 17, that you have a strategy for raising that child or that young man or young woman or that adolescent. And with a strategy where you have markers where you know that you're getting, as Helen just said, the most your kid has in terms of potential.
Very important. Well, thank you again, Jeff,
You
for
bet.
joining me. And I hope to see you one day in Maryland.
Yeah.
Never been there, actually, and they have a terrific big Greek community, I
Oh yeah.
heard.
Oh yeah. They do.
So, thank you again. And everyone, I hope you have a great rest of your day. Bye for now.
Thank you for listening to Smart Parents, Successful Students podcast. I hope this episode has been insightful and inspirational. Wherever you're listening, be sure to go ahead and subscribe to get the next episodes and to join our email list by going to www.dynamislearningacademy.com/podcast/. Also, it would warm my heart if you reviewed the podcast on Spotify and shared it with your community. And remember, I believe that every child would benefit from getting extra support outside the classroom, whether they are struggling or are part of an advanced or gifted program, because teachers just can't do it all. Please connect with me about our K-12 tutoring, SAT or ACT prep classes, and writing workshops to help your child excel in school. I can be reached through email at helen@dynamislearningacademy.com or by phone at 770-282-9931. Thanks for listening. Bye for now.